This is Ben Bueller Garcia, host of American Warrior Radio. Join us on Cool Cat WDLW Sundays at 7 a.m. to hear the stories of those who protect us at home and abroad, the men and women of our military and first responder communities. American Warrior Radio, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on WDLW.
American Warrior Radio is sponsored locally by Colonial Barbershop, Wellington, Complete Design and Construction, Lorraine, Gold Medal Mortgage, Avon, and Golden Corral in Elyria.
It's the Magical Mystery Hour on Cool Cat Oldies, FM 98.9, AM 1380, and streaming online, WDLWradio.com. Matt Sly is here with you. And, you know, there are not that many books about Beatles manager Brian Epstein. For those out there who want to know more about Brian, there's Ray Coleman's excellent biography, The Man Who Made the Beatles, Brian's own ghostwritten account published in 1964, A Cellar Full of Noise, and Debbie Geller's oral history, The Brian Epstein Story. There's even a graphic novel called The Fifth Beatle, which is being adapted into a film called Midas Man. Now, my guests on today's show have been added to this small volume library of Brian Epstein literature with Hide Your Love Away, an intimate story of Brian Epstein, which tells the story of Lauren Larry Stanton, an aspiring Hollywood singer who met Brian in Los Angeles and had a relationship with him. He entrusted Rick and Robin to tell his story. So I welcome Rick and Robin to the Magical Mystery Hour. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. For two things. First of all, thank you for getting up early. As you're on the West Coast, I really appreciate it. And number
it's great.
We love to be with you.
And thank you. And number two, most importantly, please accept my condolences, Larry. You know, he passed away a few weeks ago that you announced. So my condolences. I know he was one of your friends. So please accept that.
Thank you.
He passed away on the 28th of
March,
and it was. It's sad, you know, what can I say?
Yeah, but the thing is, you could look at this book as his, you know, his epitaph, really. But, you know, he kept his story secret for many years. So, first of all, how did you meet him, and how did you get him to tell you his story?
Well, I've actually known Larry since I was about 12 years old when I started to discover music. And my mother met him because he was a personal manager at that time, trying to help young people get record deals. So my relationship with him started very early on, and it continued throughout my whole life. And we were involved with many different projects, including a couple at Capitol Records and what have you. And, of course, later on in life, he met my wife, Robin, and they got along really well. So it's been a lifetime relationship for both Robin and I and Larry.
Larry, we'd have such wonderful conversations with both Rick and I about pieces of time in his relationship. At the time, we didn't know that it involved Brian, but he would talk about Zsa Zsa Gabor and funny tricks that were being played. He never told us who that other person was. And he would talk to us about Lionel Bart and just really great stories. And we said to him, you know, Larry, these stories are so great. You should write a book. And at the time, Rick was thinking that Larry could come up with a little short story that would be in, I know this is probably old school, but Reader's Digest or something. Mm. But Larry just said, oh, no, can I, that's okay. I don't want to write a book. So what happened was, I would have conversations with him about my father. My father, who was bisexual and decided being a homosexual was more of, you know, the lifestyle he really felt most comfortable living. And he had a partner himself for 35 years. And so I'd share some stories about just my becoming aware of my father. And my father and I had a wonderful relationship. There's, you know, no doubt about that. But as we shared conversations, he became much more comfortable in opening up. And that's when he revealed this person, this other person being Brian. And we were just amazed.
Incredible. Brian and Larry met actually at a party Brian was hosting at the famous Beverly Hills Hotel. Now, the key of the book, really, for me, is that Larry gave Brian his contact details. Brian later inscribed that in his phone book, which was sold. So there's proof positive right there that Larry Stanton had this relationship with Brian.
Absolutely.
Yes, while we were writing this book, you know, Larry would tell us these stories about Lionel Bart, Sal Mineo, and Brian Epstein all hanging out together. And, you know, you know, even though we, like I said, I've known Larry my entire lifetime. You know, you start to question somebody. You start to go, really? I wonder if that really did happen, or wonder what was really going on. When that when Brian's phone book was auctioned off in England about a year ago, it really solidified everything, because there in the book was in Brian's own handwriting was Larry's name, Hollywood address, and phone number. So it the provenance really was there. It just proved itself to be true.
Well, as Larry was sharing his story with us, and it took really a couple of years in order to get everything put together in order to have the book, we do a lot of fact-checking and research, and it was really a wonderful experience, opened our eyes to a lot of different things, because this story isn't about the Beatles. The Beatles are only a backdrop. And it's not a biography about Brian. It's just strictly about the relationship that Brian and Larry shared.
And that two people had that during that time. Remember, in 1967, the year that Brian passed away, that was the year that they started turning the laws around regarding homosexuality. Prior to that time, you'd go to jail. I mean, you couldn't go. It was illegal to be a homosexual. So Brian, basically Brian and Larry and anybody that was gay, basically at that time, had to hide their love, and they couldn't have a normal. I'm using the word normal, but a relationship like my wife and I had, open, holding hands, going down the street, enjoying life together. They had to hide it, and. The relationship that Larry had with Brian was not only that they could share their private world of being homosexual, but also they were both Jewish. They both attended military, and they both used to share their almost equal phases of depression. So they had a lot to even though they were worlds apart financially. They had a lot to share with.
We're speaking with Rick Marcelli and Robin Bragg Marcelli, authors of the book Hide Your Love Away, an infant story of Brian Epstein, as told by Larry Stanton right here on the Magical Mystery Hour. Now, Brian never really talked about the Beatles to anyone, including close associates, but he did confide in Larry some aspects of show business in Britain and some underworld knowledge of the Cray twins. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, it turns out that what we found is that probably the last year of Brian's life, he was pretty distraught. And yes, there's been talk about that he would, he was doing his fair share of alcohol and drugs and what have you.
But he wasn't sure that the Beatles, their contract was going to be renewed. And he wasn't sure that the Beatles wanted to renew with him.
There were discussions at that time, I think, about what's his
Stigwood?
Name? Robert Stigwood coming aboard ship and sort of working a deal with taking a portion of Brian's company.
And then.
And there's also some talk about that Brian was losing interest in personal management. I don't know, Matt, if you've come across those same stories or not.
Yeah, I mean, he was going to, he was tired of like the Nems Enterprise. He had the Beatles, he had Jerry and the Pacemakers, Cilla Black, and he wanted to delegate a little more. So, basically he wanted to keep the Beatles and Cilla and kind of spin off Nems, which is where Robert Stigwood would come in. But to your point.
Yeah, I'm not so sure, we're not so sure if it was all that squeaky and clean because I don't understand. Listen, I understand Robert Stigwood. I get he's a very successful personal manager. Okay. But not at the time that he knew Brian. He was an underling. Why or how could he get in that position? And one of the reasons why we believe that is the Cray twins were standing right over Robert Stigwood's shoulders. And Brian was very nervous about the Cray twins.
Well, and the Cray twins wanted to get into that business as well. I mean, they were trying to finagle their way into as many things as they could to try to put some sense of, you know, that they were real business people, yeah. As a matter of fact. So the Cray twins were and Brian would always run into the Cray twins at various places that he would frequent in London as well.
So he knew that the Cray twins knew about his homosexuality and going to certain parties, and he was nervous that he could be compromised. And I really believe that that's how Robert Stigwood got into this whole situation with Brian. I think they were able to put Brian into a corner. You know, it's interesting, and this is not in the book, but I was in Rick Gerard's office at RCA Records at the time when he produced Jefferson Airplane, Jose Feliciano. He discovered Michael McDonald, was working on an album with Michael, but he also had another guy by the name of Harry Nielsen, and who he produced. And I was in Rick's office when he got a telegram from Brian Epstein wanting to manage Harry Nielsen. And this was 2 weeks before Brian died. So if you're telling me that Brian was losing interest and wanted to sell off his company and blah, 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 I don't believe so.
Yeah, we don't believe
I don't believe so. I've been a personal manager most of my life, managing, you know, major people like David Copperfield and what have you. And it doesn't ring true to me that he wanted to sell off his company. I do believe he was scared. He was nervous about everything. He also had a toxic lover, which has been written about in other books, that really, you know, had stolen a lot of information from him, contracts, drugs, and compromising photographs, which put Brian in a corner.
But nobody knew where this toxic lover came from. Well, we do, and that is by way of Larry, because Larry was responsible for the initial introduction of this toxic lover to Brian, and it was at the party in the Beverly Hills Hotel where that happened. And it took a little while. Diz, which is the toxic lover, was very, you know, he latched on right away, and he really caused a lot of havoc for Larry as well as for Brian.
We are speaking with Rick Marcelli and Robin Bragg Marcelli, authors of the book Hide Your Love Away, an intimate story of Brian Epstein, as told by Larry Stanton on the Magical Mystery Hour on Cool Cat Oldies, FM 98.9, AM 1380, and streaming online, WDLWradio.com. Now, one of the most important points in this book, Hide Your Love Away, is that Larry says he actually spoke to Brian before his death and claimed there was someone else in the room with him. Now, there have been theories that Brian was murdered, but your book really points in that direction, which flies in the face of the official version of exactly what happened. So can you kind of reconstruct that for me?
Well, according to what we know and what Larry said to us, they had, at that particular time in their life, they had transatlantic conversations, and this was, unfortunately, the last conversation that Larry had with Brian. It was early in the morning in England for Brian, you know, and Larry feels, during that conversation, the phone conversation was interrupted because Brian got distracted and told Larry to hold on. And Larry remembers hearing another voice in the room. He believes it was this toxic other person that Brian was dealing with that Larry introduced him to. And we believe that this person also had keys to Brian's flat. And there was no one there that weekend. His help had stayed away that weekend, so it was very easy for him to have access. When Brian's body was discovered, it sort of makes sense to me that they sort of cleaned up the room. In other words, put things in order. They didn't want to have Brian look like he was a total mess. So they sort of cleaned up his room, organized his prescription medication, his bottles, whatever, took away anything that looked like it was illegal, you know, cleaned it up. But in the interim of doing that, I think they also covered up the fact that there was somebody there that night, not intentionally, just by sheer accident.
So Larry kept this to himself for close to 50-some years. Amazing.
Yes. Yes.
Was he afraid?
And Larry was also, you know, this guy, this toxic, crazy guy, according to Larry, you know, spiked his drink with LSD. And to the day he died, I mean, he was troubled with mental issues due to the fact that he was given
he was traumatized by that experience. Yeah, it was a really bad experience. And this toxic lover didn't hide the fact that he had done that. And so that was something kind of hanging over. You know, he used that against Brian as well. You know, he would, you know, interject about the relationship that he had with Larry and would try everything to make sure that they didn't have a relationship.
And Larry was always bitter towards this guy because he felt that he ruined part of his life in terms of his mental depressions and what have you.
Well, interesting thing is that this toxic lover seems to have vanished from the face of the earth. We have done a lot of investigation in trying to find out where this guy may be. Is he still alive?
We know he got arrested in Los Angeles. We know he was arrested in New York. We also know he was arrested in London. Now, it's interesting, through our FBI connections, there's no record of this guy. No record of him ever living. So what does that tell you? For us, it tells me that he either never existed or that he's in witness protection program, because he knew a lot of information about the Cray twins and a murder that took place in England. He also had access to information about Brian and the Beatles, and he probably was funneling information to the FBI and the MI5 in England, and they probably, you know, were wanting that information, because you remember J. Edgar Hoover and the United States thought the Beatles were going to, I don't know what, ruin the world by changing the culture of America. I mean, they all had files on them at the FBI and what have you.
And, of course, that's speculation on our part, but based upon all the dots that kind of connect
Leads us to believe that's probably true.
Well, listen, it's a fascinating read. It really is. And I wish you all the best of luck with this book. It's incredible. Hide Your Love Away, an intimate story of Brian Epstein, is told by Larry Stanton. Thank you guys for joining me. I'm going to finish off the show, because it's that time, with a song appropriate for this whole thing. You've Got to Hide Your Love Away. See you next week, everybody, on the Magical Mystery Hour. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Here I stand, head in hand.